Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Okay, I guess we are on the air. Okay, there we go. And there you have it, with technical difficulties and everything. Welcome, everybody, to tonight's show. Don't you just love our intro music? I'd like to give a big virtual hug and a big shout-out and a muchas gracias to Memphis musician Brian Jarrett for creating such a cool piece for us. And hey, in case you're wondering, I'm your host, Christine Kiyosi, and you're tuned in to Soul Inspirations Radio, where the music, magic, and message always matters. Each week, we'll have a conversation with an incredible musician where we'll learn about both their personal and their career journey. Hopefully, there's something in the mix that inspires your journey and your call to action. So tonight, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to take callers. Our call-in number is 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. And then just press 1 to get into the caller queue. So let's go ahead and get started with tonight's show. See, we've got a great, great guest tonight. His name is Philip Bardowell. Phil is an accomplished singer, songwriter, musician. He was born in Kingston, Jamaica, but he was raised in Southern California. He's been a band member, either in a lead vocalist or lead guitar, rhythm guitar capacity, with a band such as the Beach Boys, Mike Love's Endless Summer Beach Band. He's also toured with the legendary surf band Jan and Dean, and he did team up with the post-Kiss band Chris that was formed by Peter Chris, of course. And today, however, Phil spends a great deal of his time as a full-time worship pastor at Shepherd of the Hills United Methodist Church in Mission Viejo, California. And he's also busy recording his own contemporary Christian music. And he also does tour with other contemporary Christian musicians. So his latest EP is titled To the Ends of the Earth. So join me in welcoming this amazing musician to the show, Philip Bardowell. Hey, Phil, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Christine? Thanks for having me.
I am doing well. First, I want to say, so cool how we ended up connecting. We have mutual friends from, gosh, at least 15, 16 years ago. And you just never know how God's going to connect people and things for his glory. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. As we spoke the other day, just to kind of catch up, and I was amazed at how many people that we both knew. So,
right.
And I had never met you. So it's just an amazing God thing, I call it. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely a God thing. So Phil, I was reading your bio, doing my research for the show, and let's start back from the beginning. It seems like you've always been involved in music somehow from an early age. It started at 5 with your piano lessons and that kind of thing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your early years and how you evolved?
Well, I'm still evolving.
I know.
Oh, thank God for that. But I heard you mention earlier at the opening piece that I was born in Kingston, Jamaica, and I won't say what year, but it was a long time ago. My kids love to remind
right.
me. We came to this country when I was very young, and I started piano at the age of 5. I actually wanted to play violin, but the man died, so I ended up taking piano from his wife, and I'm actually glad I did. It's a great foundation. And at the age of 12, actually in second grade, there was a teacher. We lived in Lakewood, California. By the way, I'm living in California now. I'm calling from the baseball field. My son's having a game, so it's a beautiful day here in Southern California, as usual.
Okay. Shout out to your
that?
Son's baseball team. Hey,
shout out to my son's baseball team. Yeah, go Nationals. I'm not having a great year, but that's okay. But anyways, I... I started piano, and when I was in second grade, I had a teacher that would bring out the acoustic guitar, and we would sit, you know, crisscross applesauce and sing songs, and I was really intrigued with the sound of the guitar. So when I was about 12 years old, I picked up a guitar. My parents bought me a guitar, and I just kind of taught myself. I started taking lessons with my piano teacher, and at one point she says, look, I can't really teach Philip anything else. So I kind of took it from there. I learned Stairway to Heaven and all the other songs that a 12-year-old kid learns. And
right.
By the age of by that same year, you know, really a year into playing guitar was the year that I met my brother introduced me to a guy named John Stamos, who was a
mm-hmm.
drummer in the area. And his dad drove him over to our house because we wanted to start a band. Because any, you know, what do? You've been playing guitar for 6 months. Of course, you start a band, right? So we started our band, and John came over, and we immediately hit it off. John was just, he was a star before the world knew it. He came over, and he was this lanky kid with, you know, energy to the 12th degree. And he came out, and we just played gigs, and we played Bay City Rollers, some songs by them, a song by Kiss, and a song by Alice Cooper. And we just played and played, and lo and behold, 2 months later, we were playing gigs. So that's kind of how I started in bands and music. The band was called Deja Vu.
Okay.
So that's pretty much how I got started, yeah.
So what kind of bands were you influenced by back then? I mean, you were just a teenager at that point. I mean, who were you listening to? Who did you kind of want to emulate?
Well, I would literally stand in front of my mirror and pretend I was Lou Gramm quite a bit. I loved Foreigner. I loved everything back then. You know, for anyone that lived in the 70s, music was just so varied and it was so great. I loved Elton John. The Jamaican in me, I listened to Bob Marley. I loved Stevie Wonder. I loved Marvin Gaye. As a matter of fact, John was always a fan of the Beach Boys, and he used to bring over his Beach Boys Endless Summer record. And I not to offend anyone, but I used to tell him, I said, why do you like that white bread music? And he'd go, why do you listen to that other stuff? You know, but it was, I had no idea that one day I would end up playing with the Beach Boys. But John was just, we would go to Disneyland, and there was a band called Papa Do Run Run who used to play Beach Boys music. So that's how I kind of got involved in that kind of music, was really through John. So
cool. Okay, so you mentioned that. Now, actually, though, you really, so you have been blessed. You've played with some of the world's greatest musicians, and I think what happened, though, the chronology is you played with Jan and Dean first before you ended up hooking up with the Beach Boys, or?
Well, that was another thing. That's another John thing. So sometimes you meet someone in your life, and the whole world changes. So John was one of those people in my life. So it was funny. I had actually graduated when I graduated from high school, and I was going to college. I got a psych degree because, strangely enough, I didn't think music was a way I was going to be able to make a living doing music. Well, God obviously had other plans. So I was staying with John at his house, just hanging out, and I think I was a waiter or something somewhere, and he looked at me and said, hey, Philip, I may have done something for you. I said, what? He said, well, Jan and Dean is looking for a bass player. They want a young bass player because one of the guys can't go on the road anymore. And my first question was, who's Jan and Dean? Now, I could remember years before that, my mom, who's from Colombia, I have no idea how she knew who Jan and Dean was. But she would say, Philip, Jan and Dean, with her, you know, her accent. So Jan and Dean
are
at the Orange County Fair. And I said, I don't know who they are. So strangely enough, I had met Dean Torrance at the Sunset Grill, which is no longer there, but the famous Sunset Grill, through John. And so anyways, I went over and I auditioned for the band. Now, Jan, they had to tell Jan, because Jan was rather attached to the other person, they had to tell Jan that I knew Casey Kasem, which was very loose, because I had met him as a youth, and we were both Lebanese, so that's pretty much the extent of that.
Okay.
And that I was a valet that could do hair and do his hair. It was a very strange thing, and that I knew Duran Duran. So anyways, he bought it. I ended up going on the road with them. I think I was 20 years old, and playing bass, and that was awesome. I did it, and to this very day, I mean, I still work with Dean. I've known Dean over 30 years, so.
Wow. Okay, so that must have been quite an experience. I mean, touring with them, because initially you had no idea who they were, but they're somebody pretty big. So the tour
absolutely
been pretty cool, huh?
It was awesome. It was awesome. And a matter of fact, it came to pass that I knew some of the songs. I just didn't know what the name of the act was. And just like most people, I thought that was the Beach Boys. No, that's Janet Dean. But Janet Dean actually came out before the Beach Boys. They had their first hit in 1959. So it was awesome. It was a great experience. I mean, I got a taste of living out of the suitcase and being on the road, and I got to go all over the world and travel across this beautiful country. It was an amazing experience. It really was.
So cool. So cool. At such a young age too. So you're with Jan and Dean, and that kind of evolves into the Beach Boys. So how was that kind of a John thing as well, I guess? I mean, these connections?
Yeah, to be honest with you, and but here's the curveball I'm going to throw you since I'm at the ballpark. The Peter Criss thing came out of Jan and Dean, which is, who could have, I mean, where would that come from? One of the guys that knew Jan Berry knew Peter Criss, and Peter Criss was looking for a singer, so I went and auditioned for that, and that was obviously different kind of music, and I ended up getting the gig with him and going on the road for about a year. We were on a bus, and I ended up, you know, Ace Frehley was out for a few shows, and the weird thing was, you know, as a kid, I was really into Kiss. I mean, I had posters of them in my bedroom, and I literally dressed up as... What's that? You did? Everyone did.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
I
saw them in concert. I dressed up as Peter for Halloween one year. So it was kind of cool. So when I was in the band with him, he actually signed the Polaroid picture of me dressed up as him. And so that came before the Beach Boys. So when I did that, I think that was 92. And I was involved in some Christian bands by then. I was doing a lot of stuff. I was in a Christian band on Frontline Records called Magdalene, and we did some really great records with a guy named Lanny Cordola, who was an amazing guitar player, and a guy named Chuck Wright, who was in Quiet Riot, his claim to fame, and a guy named Ken Mary, who was an amazing drummer. So I was doing a bunch of rock and roll stuff. And stop me from rambling, because I get excited talking about the fact that I can remember.
Please continue to ramble.
Okay. All right.
I love your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I came back off that tour, and the one thing I learned from being on the road with Peter Criss, it was an awesome experience, but it taught me that it wasn't all about music. When I was on the road, I literally graduated from college. My professors would let me fly home and take tests. So I was out of college, and I would be on the road, and I was on the bus one day, and I was looking around. And I said, this doesn't feel right with my soul. This doesn't feel like what I'm supposed to be doing. So I left the band, and I came home, and at the time, my older brother, had just got a position at Saddleback Church with, you know, Rick Warren's church in Lake Forest, and he was the assistant worship pastor. So I was very reluctant at first because, you know, I grew up Catholic, not that I had any, but, you know, we went to a church in North Hollywood driving from Orange County, and it was a lot of Arabic stuff. Now, I don't know if you know, I'm half Syrian, quarter Lebanese and a quarter Colombian. So I didn't have a lot of, I didn't grow up in the Jesus non-denominational thing. So when my brother started going to Saddleback, my family and I were all concerned that he was going to become a strange Jesus freak kind of guy. But lo and behold, I went to church, and the worship pastor one day looked at me and said, you know, would you like to audition for the praise team? And I'm thinking, what is, you know, I couldn't believe he would want to invite me. But anyways, I got on the team, long story short, and as I sang songs to the Lord, my heart began to change. And I realized that music was not the destination for me. It was just a vehicle to get to something greater. And that was all before the Beach Boys. But I'm just kind of taking you in order. So that was about 1992.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So, and then that led to, I got a call from a guy named Jeffrey Foskett, still living at home. And I got a call one Saturday morning. So, Jeffrey Foskett, I need you to go to Japan next week. I said, what? And so, long story short, Mike Love needed a band to go to Japan. So I went there with him, hit it off with Mike, and this and that, and became friends with Mike Love, started playing with his Endless Summer band. And through that, I ended up playing at his wedding, his 50th birthday party, or it might have been his wedding. And so we were playing there, and this is how I got into the Beach Boys. John was there, and we were singing cover songs, and I think I was singing Tears of a Clown. And I think, you know, I told you I love singing soulful music. As a matter of fact, when I was in the Beach Boys, the first thing they would literally say, sing it wider, Philip. No vibrato. Sing straight. So I learned how to do that. But at this particular party, I was letting loose and being myself, and I saw Stamos running up to the stage, said, Philip, you got to sing more. I said, what? He goes, Carl Wilson loves your voice. Can you sing another song? I said, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it was
come
so,
on, dude,
it was
lay
so
down.
It was so endearing because to see my friend so excited for me, you know, it was awesome. And so anyways, I sang another song, and during the break, I walked up, and John said, Philip, this is Carl Wilson. And Carl looked at me and said, Philip, you got a great voice. I love great singers. I'd love to sing with you someday. And I'm thinking, my God, did I just hear this from this man? So
right.
So when Carl had gotten sick, that's how I got called into the Beach Boys, because he would, when he had cancer, he said, I want Phil, that Phil guy, to come out
mm-hmm.
and learn my parts in case I can't do it. So I would literally sit on the stage, and if he needed me, I'd sing or play. And that's how I got involved in the Beach Boys.
Wow.
So
such a, well, I was going to say it's a fluke, but not really, because like you said, played such a part in that with you. But nonetheless, I mean, you were, like you said, at that point, you were you kind of conflicted as far as like what you were doing with your music? You know, like you said, you love the Beach Boys and you played that music, but you said there was kind of an inner thing going on at that time as well, like the message,
well, yeah.
The message in the music?
Well, first of all, it was an incredible experience. I mean, I was with the Beach Boys from about 95 to 2001. And
mm-hmm.
But what was going on with, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had started coming into my faith, and you know, although
mm-hmm.
God was working in my heart, but I wasn't really in fellowship, you know, and I wasn't really walking, you know, and growing in my faith the way, you know, that I should. But
mm-hmm.
so that's what led in 2001, that's what led to me leaving at that point. But I was still kind of new in my faith, so I was kind of doing
right.
it my way. But
right.
I still believe that God had a work and a hand in that, and it was in His will that I did it. But it taught me again that it's not all about that. It's about Him. It's about serving Him, and that's kind
absolutely.
Of where I am today. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really respect that, because number one, it's hard enough to, I don't know, just transition from, you know, surrendering and giving up your will and letting God have His will in your life. With you, secondarily, it was like, well, you were in the music business, and there's so much expectation and, I guess, kind of what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to act. And
yeah.
I just really respect what you did, because it's difficult, you know, but you ended up following your heart. I guess you had a lot of, did you have support at that time when you were, you know, kind of going through these in your faith? Was your family supportive of you? You said your brother was already in the church, right?
Yeah. I had a lot of support. I really did. But again, you know, when I was in the Beach Boys world, I was gone for 7 months out of the year. And,
mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I was out there, you know, and I wasn't around much. And I was really dealing with some struggles that I had in life, you know, before,
mm-hmm.
and I was playing around with some drug addictions that, you know, that I picked up at a very
mm-hmm.
young age, and I was just mm-hmm. not really following the Lord, and to be really, because I like to be transparent, and I was married
mm-hmm.
to my first wife, and in 1996, and by
mm-hmm.
the time 2001 rolled around, you know, I think she had it with me. I wasn't really present, and so 2001.
Mm-hmm.
found me broken, you know, living in this house that I couldn't afford, that I eventually had to sell,
mm-hmm.
and I'm struggling with drugs,
mm-hmm.
not really caring if I lived or died, feeling very empty, didn't have really much of anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's when I got a call from a pastor in La Habra, California, and they needed a musician to play for their church picnic, and this was through the reference of a dear friend named Devonna Dre, who was with me from the very first days at Saddleback, when I was on fire for the Lord, by the way. So anyone listening, you know, look, we all stretched the bungee cord. I was on fire in 1992, and God never left me. I left Him, okay? So it doesn't mean – but I wasn't walking, and I didn't realize how important it is to stay in fellowship and all that. So I got a call from this pastor, and I ended up doing the gig because I needed the money, and after I played at the picnic, very much in the same way the worship leader at Saddleback looked at me years earlier. He said, Philip, I see something in you, and we need a worship leader here. Would you consider praying about, you know, interviewing? And I thought, I want to be a worship leader. I mean, I didn't say that, but that was my thoughts, because in my mind, I thought, well, I'm giving all this up. I mean, I just did a solo album called In a Perfect World that I'm really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, there was little success with that, and people were turning their heads, and I had some opportunities, but again, I blew them because I wasn't a happy camper. I wasn't communicating in a way that was godly with people. So at any rate, I did. I ended up taking that position eventually, and it was the beginning of the new life that I have today. It put me back on the track, you know.
How awesome
and,
is that? And again,
yeah.
It has to do with surrendering your will and your life, and it doesn't always make sense. And actually, I believe it doesn't have to. You just got to have faith. That's where the faith and the trust comes in, as far as, you know, being a believer. But we're going to, in just a few minutes, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. It's called His Name. It's one of your songs, and it's actually off an EP you released a few years ago. The EP is called Fall to Rise. Is that right? His Name?
Yeah.
Is that on that one?
Right.
Okay. So we're going to play that in a few minutes. So, but first, before we play that, what is it you want people to feel when they listen to this song? It's got such a great message.
I want them to feel two things. My life first, one of them is Romans 8:28. But we know that all things come together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And I want them to think of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where there's no condemnation in Jesus. This song is about redemption. It's about Jesus loving us and nothing separating us from his love. So I want them to know that there's nothing they've done or will do or have done that will separate them from his love. And there's always hope. Today you can turn it around.
Absolutely. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to Phil's song. It's His Name from his EP, Fall to Rise. This is Philip Bardowell. In my own life, just knowing that Jesus is always there, always beside me, no matter what I've gone through, no matter what I've done, if you ask and you ask for forgiveness and you're obedient, like, wow, I'm on fire for the Lord too. So I love it. I love it.
I can tell. I can tell, you know, and I love how you said that. You know, the fact of the matter is Jesus loves us more than we love ourselves most of the time. And you're right. There's, you know, it's, thank you. I'm still in awe that he could love someone like me the way he does and has. And again, I just want to share that, like we all do, you know, God is good. Jesus, we have a savior, you know, his name is Jesus. And we can stop running and we don't have to hide anything. And we can come as we are. And, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm not proud of. And that's why I put that, leave your guilt and leave your shame. But we have to leave our guilt and shame. Jesus died for that. It was left on the cross. So we don't have to carry that around. And even if there's someone here listening today that still struggles with something, don't beat yourself up. That's not of God. No matter what, even if you're still doing and struggling, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But turn to him and allow him. Allow him to work in your life and to work in your heart so that you can live a life that's full. And that's just an amazing way to live.
Yeah, truly. Give your burdens to the Lord, but, you know, but obviously he gives us a will. You know, he does give us the choice. So we can give our burdens to God and kind of live our lives, but being obedient and praying. I think prayer is so important. I think it's kind of the core of everything with a Christian faith. Just praying and lifting him up in prayer.
Absolutely.
I love it so much. Yeah, I want to ask you, so the Song of Redemption and that kind of thing. So what are your thoughts about intercession specifically with musicians? There's so many in your industry, Phil, that, you know, seemingly they've got the fame, the fortune, you know, the adoration, but they're still empty inside. And I know you know what that feels like, because you said earlier, you know, there was a void, there was something missing. Have you ever... you don't have to tell us who it was, but have you been involved with interceding with musicians in that way?
I do, and I still pray for people today. I pray those people that I know, and you know, it's, you said it very well. You know, there's plenty of people in the world of music that have plenty of money and plenty of fame and plenty of attention, but I don't need to tell everyone the stories of those people who have ended their own lives because they're empty and they realize that there's nothing. It's I reminded of the verse, you know, what profit a man to gain this whole world and lose his soul. It's not the end all, you know, and music is a gift. I mean, music is here for us to enjoy, you know, and you said it earlier, you know, God, we have the choice. We're not robots. God doesn't want robots. He wants people to make the choice to love him the way he loves us, you know, so I do intercede, and prayer is the most important thing in the world. And to be honest with you, I never really prayed enough. I do now. But to prayer, just talking to God, I can be in my car, you know, I'll be in my car. I used to drive down the freeway and I'd be crying, you know, I'm thinking, who are these people looking at this guy crying in his car? You know what I mean? But I'm just talking to God, you know, and I'm thanking him and I'm praying and I need him. We need him. I need him more than ever. In this world today, we need him more than ever. So I don't know what God's doing, but I just feel like there's a lot of people, especially in entertainment, caught up in that world, you know, and so...
Yeah, and there is an answer, and it's what we're talking about tonight. But let me we're going to take a quick break right here, a brief station break. First, before we do that, I want to remind everybody, first, Soul Inspirations Radio is brought to you by Atlanta Life Radio, so don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back with Philip Bardowell.
Hey, this is Executive Producer Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Share us with your friends, like us on Facebook, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
Hey, Phil. Okay, so we are back. We're talking with Philip Bardowell, contemporary Christian music musician, as well. He is a worship pastor at Shepherd of the Hills United Methodist Church in Mission Viejo, California. So, Phil, you talked about your ministry career, kind of how that evolved, and we've listened to one of your songs so far. Who do you usually collaborate with on your songs? Is it your worship team at your church, or tell us a little bit about that?
Well, in terms of collaborating, honestly, the last few albums I've done is I kind of just collaborated with myself alone in a room or in a car somewhere, but it's not because I didn't want to work with anybody. It's just kind of the way things were. And, you know, like I have my wife, Sarah, and I have three beautiful boys, Isaiah, Jonah, and Elijah. And so, yeah, I got my hands full, but I will say this. I do have an amazing team of musicians at Shepherd of the Hills. I'm so blessed. I've been at a lot of churches, and so I do have a team, and I did work up a song called I've Got Your Love Inside My Heart a few weeks ago. Actually, it was a few months ago. And they just added so much. So my hope is to collaborate more with them and people. And one of the things I do collaborate with some Christian artists in charities. I had the pleasure of doing a show up in Napa Valley with Brandon Heath, who's an amazing songwriter.
Give me your eyes. I love Brandon. I love him so much.
He's fantastic. I was blown away by him, just everything about him. And we did a wonderful benefit for human trafficking, which is rampant. I had no idea in this country what's going on with that. It's just and so I did that, and I actually got the pleasure of seeing once again and working with the Pawn Shop Kings, who are fantastic. And we did a thing for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. My sister-in-law is a survivor of leukemia, so I love to collaborate with people, whether it's in ministry, writing a song, or anything. So that's kind of the way I'm designed. So I hope to do more of that.
Okay, and then you mentioned that you have three boys. You've got, what, one teenager and one kind of almost a teen in elementary school, so they're probably a big source of inspiration amongst the many things they're a source of, right?
Absolutely. You know, being a dad, I would say out of everything, it's been my favorite thing in the world. I feel like, you know, with my family today, with everything that I shared with you about losing so much. Now, I had a wonderful upbringing growing up. I had a wonderful home, and it's not really until Sarah and I got married and had a family that I feel like I had a home. For many years, I didn't feel like I had a home. So I love being a dad, and anyone that has kids knows that when you have a kid, it's probably the first time in your life you love another human being more than yourself, and that is the best day of your life.
Right. Well, what would you say you're most thankful for career-wise? What are you most thankful for career-wise?
Oh, gosh. I'm thankful I still get to do music and make a living at it. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that I can use it and I can serve in the church and use not only my musical gifts, but my gifts of, you know, hospitality, and I do pastoral care stuff at our church. We have a wonderful congregation, so I get to, you know, minister to people and reach out. And I, so there's what I've learned, Christine, is that God uses, makes us all. There's so many things. The body of Christ is composed of so many people and so many giftings, and I'm allowed to use, you know, a few of them to serve. And so I'm really thankful for that, definitely.
Yeah, and I understand, okay, as far as your career and your music, this last, your current EP, you actually have, is it an independent, is it your own record label that you started with this latest EP?
Yes, yeah, To the End of the Earth was an independent release. I worked with a wonderful friend of mine, Mike Wallace, helped me produce that album, and another friend of mine, Tony Guerrero, who is the creative arts director at Saddleback Church for many years, helped me. I have a lot of friends. I'm really blessed with very giving people. So we released that on my own label, and I was very fortunate to have a gentleman that works at TBN, Tim Romero. He's in Nashville now, and he helped me do a video for Jesus in My Life, which is the single off that record. So honestly,
right.
God has given me so much, you know. So, yeah. I'm very grateful for all that he's given.
Yeah, that's a great song. And the video, I was, you know, you didn't mention, I was going to mention it, but that video is very good. And I did see, I guess there's a little part in there. I do see two of your sons in the video, or are they all
Yeah,
three
there's
in there
two of them. Yeah, that's two of them. Yeah, that's two of them in there. It was a couple of years ago, so they're quite grown since then. But yeah, that was Jonah and Elijah.
Oh yeah, they're such sweet boys, and we're going to go ahead. We're going to listen to that song you just talked about. Now this is your current EP. It's called To the End of the Earth, and the song that we're going to listen to, it's called Jesus in My Life. And one more thing before we go ahead and listen to it. What was happening? Obviously, some things are self-explanatory, but what was going on in your life at that time to inspire that? It's such a feel-good song.
Thank you. You know, that's a great question. And funny, some of these feel-good songs have come in some of the darkest times of my life. And it's funny, I was looking for hope, and I realized, and that song just came to me, and literally I lived off that song like manna for weeks. And basically what the song's about is that God is greater than our circumstances. And the chorus is, nothing's going to change the way that I feel inside. I've got Jesus in my life. So that I was feeling hopeful, and I was seeing the light come at the end of a kind of a dark time. So that's what I want people to get from that song. I want them to feel joyful in the presence of the Spirit, and to know that with God, all things are possible.
Excellent, and I think they will. Okay, so let's go ahead. We're going to go and listen to Phil's song from his most current EP called To the Ends of the Earth, and this is called Jesus in My Life by Philip Bardowell.
Something new, you make me feel so alive. I found my home, I'm not alone, 'cause I've got you in my life. Sing it with me now. I found you, I found something new, you make me feel so alive. I found my home, I'm not alone, 'cause I've got you in my life. Lord, I don't care if the cross I have to bear, standing up for what I believe. Lord, there is one truth of which I'm well aware, you save me and I don't wanna leave. Nothing's gonna change the way that I feel inside.
You make me feel so alive. I found my home. I'm not alone, 'cause I've got you in my life. Lord, I don't care if a cross I have to bear. Standing up for what I believe. Lord, there is one truth of which I'm well aware. You save me and I don't want to leave. No, nothing's gonna change the way that I feel inside. I've got Jesus in my life. I know what joy that I just can't hide. I've got Jesus.
Such a great, infectious, joyful spirit. I can really feel that, and it really comes across in that video, Phil.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You also have a really great video. It's a testimonial video, and I briefly talked about this with you prior. It's a great it's your testimony, basically. You're at church,
yeah.
And if anyone wants to know a little bit more about, you know, you touched on it a little bit prior about addiction and losing things in life, and kind of when you get to that place in life, you do cry out for God. And it's an amazing thing, actually. It's an amazing transformation. It's an amazing thing that happens. But you do have a great testimonial video, and people can go, to YouTube or
absolutely
Google. Yeah.
If they Google my name, Philip with one L, Bardowell, Bardowell, they'll find a plethora of information about me.
Yes, they will find it. But what Christian musicians do you listen to? You mentioned Brandon Heath. I listen to Christian music all the time. We have a great station here locally. It's WKLTY. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I'm listening to that constantly. Who do you like?
Well, again, you know, it's funny. I don't listen to all that much Christian radio here in California. I love all the worship folks, you know, Hillsong. I love Brandon Heath. I love the Panjab Kings. There's so many. I mean, of course, Casting Crowns. I mean, of course, Chris Tomlin. So, and I know there's plenty more I'm not mentioning, but I listen to a lot of classic rock. I mean, I love good music. And frankly, to my wife's dismay, I listen to a little too much talk radio, actually. So I'm kind of way too involved in stuff. So I'm kind of trying to temper that a little bit.
No, that's good. Hey, look, talk radio is a good thing, right? You know?
I think
talk radio is great. Don't we all love talk radio?
we do. There's so much going on in this world, and I just kind of like to know what's going on. And sometimes I get a little too emotionally attached, but I got to remember God's in control, you know? And so I should probably listen to more music. But, you know, again, I love great albums. Some of my favorite records of all time, you know, Sting's Tensometer's Tales, or, you know, there's just, I don't know why I singled that out. It just crossed my mind. But I just love good music, you know. And honestly, that's really it. I listen to everything, so.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned earlier when you were doing the charity thing, I don't know if it was with Brandon Heath or not, but you mentioned the human trafficking issue that you had not been aware of. I don't know if you know this, but music producer Scott Dorsey, he's heading up the Rock Against Trafficking initiative. Have you heard about that and what they're doing with bringing all these rockers together and raising money and awareness for human trafficking?
I am aware of it. I don't know much about it, but I am aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad something is being done, because if anyone out there listening would really Google, you know, I think we tend to think things like that can't happen in our country, but the fact of the matter is it's rampant in our neighborhoods. It's a very dark time, you know, and so I'm glad something's being done. It's shocking. I would encourage anybody to just Google human trafficking, and you'll be shocked.
It truly is. Yes. And I'll kind of, you know, tie that thing back into what I always feel everything comes back to, is that people a lot of people are taken advantage of, but these people that are, you know, unfortunately children, kind of taken in, stolen into that, you know, they have no control over that. But there are teenage girls who are, I would guess, you know, lacking, you know, in their lives in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, they just feel like they have nothing, you know. And so having God in your life and prayer, you know, is a way to combat that, I guess. Unfortunately.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I agree with you completely, Christine. Is that, you know, if we don't have our identity in Christ, and unfortunately know that we're valuable, you know, and look, there are instances where people are taken into bondage against their will, you know.
Right.
So we have to pray this up and intercede for this. It's a dark world, you know. We need the Lord's, we need the Spirit more than ever, you know. And so there's, you know, all we can do is, I think it's just time for people to really, we have to really know what's going on and be aware of it. So I'm glad
Absolutely.
They're doing that. Yeah.
And you definitely do a great job at that, because you basically, like you said, music is just the vehicle. You lead people to Christ through your music. You know, through the gift that he put in you.
Absolutely. That's why we have music in church. I always tell my praise teams, you know, the reason we have music, it's just like, I think it was Second Chronicles. We all know the story about, you know, they sent the musicians into battle before, you know, the Israelites, you know, to battle the enemy. And they worshiped. And the worshiping confused the enemy to the point where they started killing each other. I mean, worship is powerful. That's, we have it. Music in church is really there just to break down, for God to change the atmosphere and the Spirit to fill the room, so that people can be ready to hear the destination, the Word of God. So there again, music is a vehicle to something greater, and it's an amazing tool, and we get to enjoy it too.
Yeah, and as much as I love my church, I would say the worship portion in the beginning is my favorite, of course. You know, I attend a non-denominational church, and similar to you, I mean, I was raised Catholic, and it just wasn't for me, you know. And I mean, no disrespect. I believe that, you know, people are touched in many different ways. But for me, the worship and the contemporary Christian music that we sing in my church, it just works for me. And it really, you know, you can feel the Holy Spirit. It's just an energy, and it's just something you want to share with everybody. You don't want to hold it in. You have to let it out. And when you were talking earlier about being in the car and crying or singing out, I mean, I experience that all the time, and it's just an amazing feeling, and you just want everyone to feel it, I think, don't you?
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, God is, you know, we don't want to miss the little things. The other day when I was traveling to do that show up in Napa, you know, I just prayed for God's favor on the trip, and I went to Orange County Airport. I got the best parking spot in the airport. I mean, literally, seriously, God does so many things in our lives, and I think we need to recognize those. And also, having said that, you know, I just want to, you know, there are Catholic churches. It doesn't, there are people that are worshiping, you know. And again, it just really boils down to, do we worship, and I know you know that, do we worship our idols? Do we worship our tradition, or are we just worshiping God and we following Jesus? And is Jesus the center of our service and of our lives? That's it for me. That's all I need. That's all I require. And I don't like to hold back either. You know, I may have a little Pentecostal blood in me, being Jamaican born. I don't know what it is.
I think I'm like,
but I don't hold back. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite venues here at Saddleback Church is the Gospel Praise Tent, led by a great good friend of mine. And I love gospel music. I mean, when you asked me what I listened to earlier, I neglected to say I love all that gospel music, man. I still listen to it. So.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Well, when we talked previously, you said tell me what's happening with you this weekend. You're actually playing somewhere this weekend with who?
This weekend I'm going to be playing with my old friend, literally old friend, Dean Torrance, and my good friend David Marks, who was an original Beach Boy. And we're going to be playing a show down in Corpus Christi, Texas, on Saturday night. So I fly out tomorrow, San Antonio, drive to Corpus Christi, play, and then I come back Sunday afternoon. Now, the great thing about that story is with Dean, when I met Dean, he wasn't a believer. He is today. And David Marks, David Marks is a believer, too. So I get to talk about pretty much a lot of – I've seen a lot of lives change over the last few years. And a lot of people I hang out with love the Lord. And it's just amazing, because you know what? When you're walking with the Lord, the reason we have fellowship is because we're supposed to love, support, and encourage one another. There are days when we need somebody to lift us up.
Right.
So I have that. Mm-hmm. I'm very blessed. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be playing a show down there. It's going to be a benefit for musical instruments for kids down at the Corpus Christi at the, gosh, what is it? It's some Ocean Aquarium Theater or something like that. Not sure. But
okay. And that's on Saturday night, right?
That's on Saturday night.
For the folks down in Corpus Christi. I was just there a couple weeks ago. Sorry, I missed you. I'm going to miss you.
I know.
Okay, and then tell everybody, so we're almost at the end of our interview here. How can people hook up with you? Where can they follow you? How can they buy your music?
Okay, well, you can find me on iTunes, both Fall to Rise and To the End of the Earth, and my album In a Perfect World. They're all on iTunes under my name, Philip Bardawell. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com, of course, /Phil Bardawell, PhilBardawell. I'd love to keep you updated with all that's going on. And Google me and watch my testimony, and not for me, but so you can see what God has done in just yet another life. And everyone has a testimony, so I'd encourage people to share it.
Yeah, for His glory, and I just keep it just resonates what you said earlier. You know, the music is the vehicle, and that's all we are. We're a vessel, on this earth for Him. And so, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank you so much, Phil, for chatting with me tonight. You are, I feel a lot of joy in you. You're just such a joyous, funny man, and I think if people do check out your testimony. You're a little bit of it made me laugh and cry. You're a bit of a comedian there, so that's really great. And I really, really do think that you're deserving of a lot of respect and admiration on a lot of different levels, both personal and career-wise. And just encourage everybody to make sure they follow you, check out your music on iTunes, and follow you on Facebook. And just want to thank you so much again for being on the show.
Christine, for having me, and thank you everyone out there for listening, and God bless you all.
Okay, God bless you, Phil. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, and that wraps up another week of soul-inspiring music, magic, and message. I'm your host, Christine KFC, reminding you that this broadcast of Soul Inspirations will be available as podcast at AtlantaLifeRadio.com and Atlanta Life Radio iTunes channel. So please go there and subscribe. Until next week, I leave you with this thought. I believe that you were created with everything you'll ever need to fulfill your every purpose in life. It's inside of you, and it's waiting to come out. So live each day being mindful and purposeful in all that you do, and receive your inspiration. And when you receive it, share it with others. It's what I call living your life in the key of C.